The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study, returning back to the text this evening, where we will seek to close out chapter 29 with verses 31 through 35. All right, God's provided each of us with all the necessary grace, operating assets necessary to perceive the truth of Bible doctrine, undistorted, clearly, precisely, as so intended. This is obviously through the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so it behooves each and every one of us, as is our custom, to rebound if necessary once again this evening, so that we can go in with our slate clean before God, so to speak, God the Holy Spirit and rulership over the real you, and be predisposed otherwise for the concentration and contemplation and understanding of the things of God, so that we can have, if we have a boast, that boast that we know and understand God in this vein. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here back in the text, we are at the point in the scenario, the context of chapter 29, where Jacob has ended up with two wives, unplanned by him, but obviously aware by God that this would occur, his two wives being Leah and Rachel, with Rachel being his first choice and Leah entering in by means of deception, ironic, needless to say, in regards to this whole situation. And the chapter closes out here in verses 31 through 35, documenting for us the birth of the first four sons of Jacob. While it may obviously be a good chapter break, more or less, considering that the scenario continues in chapter 30, you can see that the New American Standard sees some emphasis here in tying this together in regards to the previous situation that occurred. We'll try to bring that out at least a little bit in our notes. All right, looking here in verse 31, as the marriage vows and consummation have been completed and life begins in this fashion, now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So you had the wow consecutive, plus the cow, imperfect verb, third masculine singer, our verb to see, raw, R-A-A-H. He saw, that being the Lord, Yahweh, proper noun, Y-A-H-W-E-H. That is your conjunction key, K-I-Y. Then you have the verb translated unloved, is the cow passive participle, denoting continuous action, participle. Feminine singular absolute, our verb, sane, S-A-N-E. She was being unloved. Literally, this word means to hate. But there are different degrees of hatred, obviously. That being the Leah, seen with the proper noun here. And he opened her womb, wow consecutive, our verb to open here, cow and perfect third masculine singer, with the subject being obviously Yahweh, is phathak, P-H-A-T, T-H-A-C-H. He had to sign a direct object, then our noun for womb, with the common both singular construct with the third feminine singular suffix, rechem, R-E-C-H-E-M, her womb. And he concludes, but Rachel was barren, you have the wow conjunction, but proper noun, Rachel. Then our adjective, feminine singular absolute word for barren is akar, A-Q-A-R. We've already seen this word back in chapter 11, verse 30, and we'll see it again in 35, 21. Verse 32, and Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. While consecutive, our verb to conceive or be with child is the cal imperfect third feminine singular harah, H-A-R-A-H. Leah, proper noun. Then our verb to bear or give birth, while consecutive, followed with a cal imperfect third feminine singular verb yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. All these words we've seen numerous times so far in Genesis. A son, common masculine singular noun, absolute ben, B-E-N. And named him Reuben, wow consecutive. Then you have in the Hebrew the cal imperfect third feminine singular verb to call, kara, Q-A-R-A. Follow with the noun, common masculine singular construct with the third masculine singular suffix, or word for name, his name, Shem, and he called his name, S-H-E-M. Proper noun, transliterated here, Reuben, R-E-U-B-E-N. For she said, so we are given the reason for naming him such. You have for because, conjunction key, K-I-Y. She said, your cal perfect third feminine singular verb, amar, A-M-A-R. Because the Lord has seen my affliction. Again, you had the conjunction key, K-I-Y, repeated. Then our verb to see here, cal perfect third masculine singular verb, ra'ah, R-A-A-H. Same as verse 31. The Lord, Yahweh, proper noun, Y-A-H-W-E-H. And then in the Hebrew, you have the preposition bet with the common masculine singular noun construct with the first common singular suffix, ani, bet, B-E-T plus ani, A-N-I-Y. Because he saw Yahweh in my affliction. Word means poverty. Surely now my husband will love me. Again, we had the conjunction key repeated, followed with the adverb atah, A-T-T-A-H, for that or for now. Simply, he will love me, my husband, the Hebrew literal rendition. Cal, imperfect third masculine singular verb, with the first common singular suffix, our word to love, ahav, A-H-A-B, followed with the noun, common masculine singular construct, first common singular suffix, word for husband, ish, I-S-H. Verse 33, then she conceived him again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am loved, I am unloved. These series of births happen immediately, one right after another here. You have the wow consecutive, again our verb to conceive, harah, H-A-R-A-H. Cal imperfect, third feminine singular, put that in there. Again, is your adverb owed, O-D. And bore a son. Well, consecutive, again, our verb to give birth, to bear, yalad, here, cal imperfect, third feminine singular, Y-A-L-A-D. A son, common masculine singular noun, absolute been. And she said, well, consecutive, typical construct, with the verb to say, amar, A-M-A-R, cal imperfect, third feminine singular. Because, our conjunction key repeated, he has heard, that being the Lord or Yahweh. Our verb to hear is the cal perfect third masculine singular, Shema, S-H-A-M-A, followed with Yahweh. Then the conjunction key repeated, that. Then the cal passive participle, feminine singular, absolute. Our verb, again, to be hated or unloved, sane, S-A-N-E. That being unloved, am I myself? The intensive use of the pronoun, first common singular, anoki, A-N-O-K-I-Y. He has therefore given me this one also, or this son. So she named him Simeon. Well, consecutive, our verb to give is the cal imperfect third masculine singular, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. To me is the preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix. Then our conjunction also is gam, G-A-M. Sign of direct object, then simply the adjective masculine singular, zeh, this one, or understood this son, Z-E-H. And she called his name Simeon, while consecutive, again, our verb to call, cal imperfect, third feminine singular, kara. Name is a common masculine singular construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix, shim. Then Simeon, transliterated, Shimeon, S-H-I-M-E-O-N. And she conceived again. The honeymoon is not over. Well, consecutive, same construct. Our verb conceive, hurrah, cal imperfect third feminine singular. Again, adverb ode. And gave birth or bore a son. Well, consecutive, yalad, to give birth, cal imperfect third feminine singular. A son, our noun ben, common masculine singular absolute. And she said, well, consecutive, followed with amar, cal imperfect third feminine singular. Now this time my husband will become attached to me. You have the adverb atah, A-T-T-A-H, now. Then you have the definite article plus the common feminine singular noun absolute, pa'am, P-A-A-M. Literally means a step or a foot, to take a step. This time the idea is on this occurrence. The next step forward, this occurrence or this time. Then you have our verb to be attached is the nifal imperfect third masculine singular, lawa, L-A-W-A-H. Literally means to be joined, hence he will become attached. Our noun husband, ish, I-S-H, with the first common singular suffix. To me is the preposition here, L, E-L, denoting motion towards with the first common singular suffix. And then she gives a reason of her reasoning here, because I have borne him three sons. Conjunction key, because, again, yalad, to give birth, I have given birth, a cal perfect third common singular, to him is the preposition lamed, to him or for him, third masculine singular suffix. And then our adjective three, masculine singular absolute, is shalosh, S-H-A-L-O-S-H. Sons, Ben, B-E-N, common masculine plural absolute. The final phrase or clause, therefore he was named Levi. First you have the preposition all, A-L, followed with the preposition kin, K-E-N, upon thus, literally. Hence, therefore. And then to call here is the cow perfect third masculine singular. Literally, he called, Q-A-R-A. His name is a common masculine singular construct, shim, again with the third masculine singular suffix. Then our proper noun, Levi, L-E-W-I-Y. So she's named the first two, then a masculine voice names the third one. Then number four, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, all the same construct, hurrah, followed with adverb ode, yalad, with the vowel consecutive, a son, noun ben, and she said, vowel consecutive plus amar. Again, this time is the definite article with the common feminine singular noun, absolute, pa'am, P-A-A-M again. This occurrence on this time. I will praise the Lord. Her target of thinking now is directed specifically, different from the other three. Our verb to praise here is the hifil, which is causative, imperfect, first common singular, yada, Y-A-D-A-H. Will praise, cause to give thanks. Sign the direct object. The object of praise is Yahweh, again, proper noun. Therefore, she named him Judah. Again, you had the construct with the preposition all, A-L, plus the preposition kin, upon us, therefore. And again, we go back to the third feminine singular, gender and voice in person of the cow perfect verb to call, kara, Q-A-R-A. His name, Shem, S-H-E-M, with the third masculine singular suffix. Yehuda is the proper noun here, transliterated Judah, Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. Then our author tells us, then she stopped bearing. Well, consecutive, then, our verb to stop, literally means to stand, is a cow and perfect third feminine singular, amad, A-N-A-D. That is to be still, stationary, stopping. From bearing is the preposition men, M-I-N, follow with the cow infinitive, then construct of our verb to give birth, yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. All right. Rereading the five verses here. Now the Lord, now Yahweh, the Lord, saw that Leah was unloved. And he opened her womb. Now, or but, Rachel was barren. Verse 32, and Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. Because, she said, because the Lord has seen my affliction. Her conclusion, surely now my husband will love me. Verse 33, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved. He has therefore given me this one also. So she named him Simeon. In verse 34, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time or occurrence, my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, He called his name, literally, Levi. In verse 35, and she conceived again and bore a son, and said, this time I will praise the Lord, give thanks. Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. All right, and now this is verse 31 through 35. One, two marriages, two wives, and a dysfunctional family characterize the after effects of Laban's deceit. It would make for a good soap opera. Two marriages, two wives, and a family that is dysfunctional spiritually. That characterizes now the married life and the repercussions of the deceptive acts of Jacob's uncle Laban and the two sisters' father. Two, now verse 31a highlights the two areas bringing about unrest in the household, creating the conflict. First, Leah was unloved, our Hebrew verb, sane. B, secondly, Yahweh opened her womb, but Rachel was barren, in stark contrast. One was very fertile, the other one was the one left outside named Myrtle. Barren. Opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Fathok, Bakam, well, Rachel, Akar. I know I'll keep my day job. Don't worry about it. Three, partiality and disorientation to grace are two of the STA-driven motivating factors that can be clearly seen here. Partiality and disorientation to grace provide the ingredients here for a highly competitive and contemptuous spirit between the two sisters. Having already been given a portfolio of character of their father, you can definitely see the whole influence now being expressed through the female siblings, the two sisters. There is no real grace orientation. There is partiality and hence disorientation to grace when one has a blessing, the other one, if you will, becomes jealous. A competitive spirit between the two sisters then emerges that probably had been part of their relationship otherwise in a house of competition promoted by the father. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with competing in regards to, as we understand, sports and to be challenged and things of this nature. There is a healthy competition that one can be involved in to push oneself and things of this nature. But this is completely STA-driven competitiveness. It stems from jealousy. It stems from one wanting to be better than the other. See? Envy. Jealousy and envy obviously are two fuel factors that promote this type of activity. And in the circle of competitiveness, obviously contempt rears its ugly head. That is not a good relationship. A good relationship looks to harmony, unity, like-mindedness, and complete grace orientation. Looking to God for satisfaction in life. for one's inner happiness, inner joy, and peace within. But this is not what we see that comes out of this situation. All right, point four. Now, verse 31 provides the background for what follows now in the remainder of chapter 29 and through chapter 30, verses 1 through 24. So 31 kind of acts as, if you will, a title verse or a marquee, giving you the essence of background in regards to all that will follow and occur. Leah was unloved, but she was fertile and started popping out children right and left. Rachel, on the other hand, the one that was loved, she was barren. So the whole situation becomes a test for both of these sisters on how will they deal with the negative aspect. And we see, we'll see and be given insight then in regards to any orientation otherwise that may come out in regards to the test these two sisters face. So five, the stage here is set in verse 31 for Leah's testing and Rachel's testing. Leah does not have the affection that she desires as a wife to Jacob. She is left unfulfilled. Rachel, on the other hand, she has all that. But the one thing she doesn't have, at least at this point in time, is not able to produce, and that is children. So six, we will see how these two believers handled their testing. So seven, the scene begins, focused on Leah now, here in the remainder of chapter 29, who does all the speaking here in verses 31 through 35, apart from the author's insert at the end there, and here in verse 31. But she is the one that says the words that are quoted in the verses. Eight, not surprisingly, Yahweh saw that she, Leah, was unloved, that she was not Jacob's choice. We say not surprisingly because we understand God's omniscience, that God knows all circumstances, situations. Even in bouts of life that we may be completely disoriented, clearly maladjusted to doctrine, it does nothing to change God in regards to who and what He is and the fact that He has His finger on the pulse of everything. So, you have a situation, which is one reason why monogamy is God's divine design for marriage, but two females sharing not only the same house but the same bedroom with their husband, and you have competition, jealousy, and things of this nature that one would naturally assume would exist in regards to the relationships at hand. But otherwise, this is not all going unnoticed to God. It takes really that depth of understanding doctrine to truly appreciate these kinds of situations. And the fact that these things, God knew that Jacob was going to be deceived. He knew what Leah's and Rachel's part was going to be in it. He permitted these things to happen, but He had a plan. And just because things happened under His permissive will did nothing to thwart His plan. In fact, it pushed forward in regards to fulfilling it in terms of the progeny that would come out of Jacob's marriages, which it's not over with yet. So it's just one of those things that as a believer, in your thinking, you don't ever lose sight, no matter how fouled up things may be, God's still in complete control. And God is still making all things work together for good for those who love Him. See? Obviously, it's not the preferred direction in these kinds of cases. But it doesn't change the principle at hand otherwise. All right, now, point nine. The Hebrew sane, unloved, means, quote, to hate, end quote. And is strong language describing the disregard towards her as a wife. We saw it in 2460, this word. As they blessed Rebekah on her departure to Isaac, may you, our sister, become thousands and 10,000. May your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them, our term, nations and peoples who are antagonistic or have simply a disregard in regards to Israel as a peoples. And then 26:27. Isaac's words to Abimelech as they were messing with him, his people, etc. And he returned to him, and Isaac said to him, "Why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" Well, the word doesn't necessarily show any physical abuse of the situation with Isaac and Abimelech. Didn't show any physical abuse, anything of this nature. Simply Abimelech telling him to get the hell out of town and leave. So again, you've got to in many of the Hebrew words, you've got to be able to think outside the box. And hate doesn't just mean open antagonism, physical abuse or verbal abuse even. It can simply mean a simple disregard. You just don't like somebody. It doesn't mean that you necessarily may not even treat them civilly. So, in either case, the Hebrew makes it very strong in regards to the disaffection that Jacob had for Leah. You get the picture that he really could care less in regard to her in a physical and emotional sense as a wife at this point in time in his life. He was all wrapped up in the looks. See, he's still, he's after appearance. We've seen this in regards to Jacob. This drives him. This is what determines his actions. And the pretty sister got all the doting and affection in regards to the marriage. It doesn't make Leah any less of a wife. And it's a test that she had to face in regards to her life. And the word and the situation in and of itself points to that very fact. And that is, 10, we must remember Leah took part in her father's scheme. Whatever ammunition was used, you have to know that she knew it wasn't right. See? But she went along with it. And the fact that she disregarded doing what is right in the situation. God could have worked all this out in other ways. On Leah's behalf and Jacob, you know, in this respect. But there is an overall appreciation of doctrine that often goes beyond our ability to totally contemplate. in regards to the situations of having multiple wives in regards to Jacob producing the 12 tribes of Israel, spiritual, etc., things that I'm not qualified. I haven't run across anything that I can say specifically in that regards. But you recognize that those things exist. God has a perfect plan. God's not making any mistakes. The mistakes are coming from the humans. But this does not mess up God. And she took part in the deception on Laban. What do you expect in his reaction? So, 11, the indifference as to any affection she might otherwise have enjoyed by Jacob is divine discipline and consequence for her actions. Sometimes we just make those mistakes, and the divine discipline comes. God knows how to hurt us more than we know how to hurt people, and even in deeper ways. But they happen. It's a fact of life. And now the test becomes, are you going to orient to this and simply ride out the divine discipline and let God work out the rest of your life for you, see? Or are you going to get under the energy of flesh again? You're going to try to fix that problem again. SCA doesn't give you any slack. It'll whip you right on up. Let's go do that again. Let's go try something else now. You know? So, being unloved by Jacob is completely understandable in this situation. And that becomes part of her divine discipline rather than waiting upon God and insisting doing what's right otherwise. And see how God might work it out for her. And God will test people to the nth degree on whether they will wait on Him to work it out or not. See, the more doctrine you got, the more culpable you are in these areas. Understand that. It's all part of our spiritual matriculation, growing up, learning patience and things of this nature. So, point 12, there was a large disparity of treatment between the two sisters on the part of Jacob, with Leah being largely ignored on her part. So 13, now while the actions on Jacob's part might be understandable, we are not giving Jacob any excuses here. It reflects that he still refuses to see divine providence in the role of the marriages, to continue to draw upon our verse-by-verse study of the passages, remembering back to Isaac when Jacob came in and deceived him, how it worked in his favor as a spiritual wake-up call for him, and he adhered to it. Jacob remains immature and not yet at a level in his thinking that this whole situation it's just God trying to deal with him in regards to his own life, dealing with his STA, rather than becoming moody or simply treating somebody like a second-class citizen that doesn't, you know, deserve it otherwise. Yeah, maybe it is a little tough to forgive sometimes. But the quicker you forgive and the quicker you move on, I guarantee you, the smoother and the more harmonious and more peaceful your life will be overall. To not let these things continue to, you know, drill in the skull of your STA to keep you antagonized. So, Jacob, again, the cosmos will say, well, she deserves it from him. That's what I would do. Well, that's because you're an idiot too right now. You're not looking at life that God is in control of everything. over and out. And that is obviously what we have to come to grips with when we evaluate and assess our own lives in regards to things that are going on otherwise. And even though it may be under His permissive will, it's still for a reason. In some way, it's still going to advance His plan. And if you're positive, it will advance your spiritual matriculation ultimately. See? So all the things that the world considers generally to be bad or apropos in regards to reaction by the adjusted believer, it is looked at through a different lens of understanding. They're looking to God and saying, okay, all right, God. I see you. I recognize it. Like his father Isaac. But obviously, we're where we're at spiritually. And Jacob's where he's at spiritually as well as Leah and Rachel. See. 14, God could have stopped Laban in his plot, but he didn't. So now what are you going to do? Act like an immature child and just push people away. See? It's almost like a pouting towards her direction. I'll go let Rachel's breast comfort me. Yeah. Obviously, based on the situation, it wasn't all that. Because it takes two people for someone to get pregnant. But it's the other aspect of the relationship that obviously reveals Jacob's attitude towards her. 15, as for Leah, she could have refused to engage in her sin, but she didn't and must now live under these conditions. Not always the easiest, the most pleasant, and sometimes can, you know, get on your nerves, but you got to always remember it's for a reason. And the sooner you can figure these things out, the sooner you can move on with life, generally speaking. It takes a prayer and a real intellectually honest and open assessment of your own life in order to be able to truly see God working and for what reasons. Some things are fairly immediately obvious. You're rebelling against authority and somebody bangs up the side of your head or something like that. You know, okay, I got you. But other things can obviously be a little trickier. So Leah was involved in her own role of deception. And it's just kind of what goes around, comes around, and you see the circle of God's judgment in forms of divine discipline on all parties in this respect. And she could have stopped. She could have refused to engage in her sin. Now she has to live with it. So 16, yet grace is still provided her in spite of her failings and situation. Because God disciplines His children doesn't mean that somehow now He has stopped loving them or caring. Now you got a lesson to learn. And He's going to extend grace to Leah in a way that has such impact in the household that it gets her sister all riled up. What a three-ring circus. Like I said, what a soap opera that comes out of this whole mess. But grace is still there. You get so wrapped up in your self-induced misery because you won't forgive, because you won't look to God for your direction in life and for reason and purpose of things. You miss out on seeing other aspects of your life that God's there seeking to encourage you with encouragement. That's just life. See, that's just life. As often the case in the believer's life, with the testing comes a blessing. So Leah, on one hand, has a test of an unaffectionate husband. On the other end of the coin, she is the first of the wives to be blessed immensely with children. Now, while in our society, that may be no big deal. But at the time of our patriarchs and their lives, having children was a big deal. In fact, it often set a norm of acceptance by society in and of itself if you had children or if you didn't. See? And not to disregard just the natural nature of the wife, a mother, wanting to be a mother in that regard. So as it is in life, we have our tests, but have you looked around and seen any of the blessings? Well, I haven't seen any blessings. That's because you're blind. Because you're looking the wrong direction. See? It's there. I guarantee it. For all of us who have been through it and have seen it, we can vouch for that. But you got to be sensitive to it. You got to be looking for it. That means you got to isolate your sin nature. Though she was not a fulfilled wife, God took this into account and proceeded to act on her behalf. It doesn't mean that God's forsaken us when times of divine discipline may come into our lives and other forms of testing. God understands, and He will still make provision. Obviously, we have all the promises associated with testing. He's not going to test it beyond our capability to begin with. Put more on our shoulders than we can handle, both doctrinally and otherwise. So God takes this into account and proceeds to act on her behalf. 19, the challenge for her will be to find fulfillment in God, in spite of the residue of divine discipline in her life. As we address each of the kids, their names and why they were named as such, and we see her words, her rationale, her reasoning, we'll see a progressive forward advance spiritually in her thinking. Getting her eyes off of self. And finally and ultimately, where they belong, on God. To quit looking to others, twisting doctrine into our own little agenda in life for things to happen the way we want them to happen, and look at them for strictly why God is doing what He is doing in our life. And then looking to God to derive our orientation, our satisfaction, and happiness in life. And her challenge will be to, in her test, to ultimately look to God. And don't worry about the rest of it. What can you do? And what can she do? She's married now. She pulled her crazy stunt. Now she's married. So you orient. That's what you do. You grow up and you learn to acclimate. And recognize God's still got a plan for your life. And He's going to provide a blessing otherwise, even though it may come in different forms. Sometimes it may ultimately come around and the very thing that you desired at the beginning, after many years later, may come to fruition. And God's not limited. He can do these things. All right, 20, the phrase, the Lord saw here, Yahweh saw. indicates that he is about to act in a decisive fashion here. It's language of accommodation. He saw the situation, God acts. 21, here it is on behalf of the beleaguered wife, suffering soul misery, seeing the affection showered on her pretty sister when she at best was treated like a maid. Now the encouragement, direct encouragement, immediate encouragement. And God can have in your test immediate encouragement. The encouragement Yahweh provides Leah is that he made her fertile and, quote, opened her womb. Again, pointing to the fact that God's even in charge of that. For the little swimmer to find his egg and fertilize it. God's in charge of that. Ask Medical Society about that. No. Or even a lot of fundies. I understand that, parents wanting children. But some of the things that you see out there in the world, the extent that people will go to have children, where it's obvious that one or both of the spouses are barren, and there's probably a reason for it. But they're not going to orient to God's plan. They're going to go out, and they're going to go in their energy flesh, and they're going to change the whole course of God in their life, see? And again, I'm not putting down the doctrine. That's not what I'm talking about. There is a proper place for that. Scripture teaches that. But I'm talking about these scenarios that you see where everybody's got to go for fertility drugs. It's like everybody's just wrapped around the axle because the wife can't have a kid. She pray about it? Yeah. How long have you been married? 3 months. I'll pray a little longer. So, for Leah, God makes her immediately fertile and operates on her behalf in this respect. At the same time, he has closed the womb of Rachel, or she is barren naturally, and he's not interceding on our behalf otherwise. 23, this blessing is one of the crowning joys of a woman's life in societies that valued motherhood. Better than having the biggest diamond ring, of all the wives. Having children. Very much value was placed on children within a family. And obviously a lot of it was of necessity, just because of lifestyle and things of that nature. 24, God controls pregnancy and determines Leah will have the first experience of bearing children as he puts Rachel on hold and barren. Rachel gets put on hold. See how long she can last. See how long she can faith rest. How patient she can be in life. Leah's got to learn to be patient in regards to Jacob and his lack of affection for her. How long will Rachel be patient and wait upon God to provide her with her children? How long did Sarah wait? No. 25, Leah immediately conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. Hara, Wa, Yalah, Benwa, Kara, Shem, Reuben. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.